My name is Simon Cox. The date is the 25th of September and the time is 7:05 in the evening, and I'm interviewing on behalf of the Wellcome Trust. Can I firstly ask you to say your name, age and where you've come from?
Yes, I'm Steve Durbin and I'm 48 and I've come from South Barry in South Wales.
How long have you lived in South Wales for?
I've lived there all my life. I'm born and bred, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Are you proud to be Welsh?
Yes, very. I'd say we're the best little nation in the world, and if we were Ireland flat, we'd be good in England.
What do you think? What attributes do you think you have as a Welshman?
Optimism, determination, the ability to recover from despair quickly following watching the team play. those are the main ones.
And how did you first hear about the plinth?
I actually heard about it from a piece in, it was either the Sunday Times or it was in Amateur Photographer, I can't remember which. Okay, but certainly it was a press article anyway. Okay, I was quite interested in participating in it simply because, well, I think like every other photographer, I thought, ooh, new camera angle, wee, we'll have that. Also, I've been very interested in the other things that were done on the plinth. The statue of, was it Alison Laffer, I think it was her name? Yeah, the statue of the paraplegic artist. That was a fascinating piece of work, for example. I didn't find so much the replica of the plinth in Perspex as quite as interesting, but it's an interesting project all over.
So how did you feel once you found you got a place?
Well, I only found out last Thursday, because apparently I'm replacing somebody, and I do feel sorry for whoever it was I'm replacing, but they actually phoned me up last Thursday. In fact, I still haven't received the participants pack. So God bless Royal Mail.
So now that you're here, what feelings do you have?
Oh, I'm quite excited. I'm quite interested. I'm now more interested in what I can actually bring to the project as well as what I can get out of it, because I was just looking at, ooh, yeah, I'll get some camera angles here and stuff like that, but a lot of people have done that, and so that's a bit boring. So I think what I'll try and do is I'll try and get some crowd interaction, I'll try and get the photos of the crowd and try and get them to actually participate, so sort of turn it around a bit so I'm not the artwork they are, but that'll be, you know, that's the idea really.
How are you going to try and get them to interact with
well,
you?
Well, be shouting at them a lot. We'll see. Yeah, you will probably find out in the evening crowd like this that they'll probably join in anyway because they're an evening crowd. So.
And what would you hope to gain from your experience on the plinth?
Well, a little bit of notoriety and some good photographs. I've also got to mention my Fiat Rules UK, t-shirt, which I promised someone I'd wear, which is basically a photographer's thing where there's an issue with rules. For how photographers get distinctions on the International Federation, which are different in the UK to what they are in the rest of the world. And it wasn't really voted on, and quite a few of us actually wanted to be voted on properly, please. Okay, so it's a minor thing, but ours.
So what is your profession?
I'm an IT professional, and I work in local government. Okay.
What kind of work does that involve?
Like most management, really, it's mostly trying to get the job done with what resources you've got available, and watching the resources shrink every year, and still struggling to get the job done.
So, how did you get into this job?
Originally, I started off in IT back in the early mid 70s, when I left school, and I've just been working in it. And of course, as you work in a job, you get more experience. Eventually, you do move into management and turn to the dark side. So.
What attracted you to IT in the first place?
My father was in IT, but also my grandfather worked on the Enigma project in the Second World War, so he was actually involved in the very first computers, really, although they weren't computers in the modern sense. So it's sort of a family business, and my uncle's in it, my brother's in it, and you know, quite a few of us are. So. But it always just fascinated me. My missus says it's actually gone very autistic, so it's because it goes beep, I understand it better, but that's heavy.
Did your grandfather tell many stories of his time?
No, not until 1976. Not until 1976, he wasn't allowed to eat. You know, we knew he'd been somewhere in the UK in the war. He would never talk about it until it was declassified under the 30-year rule. And the week it was declassified, he told us all about it. We all went, what? So that was the first any of us knew of it. So.
Did he talk in detail after that?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Explained an awful lot of what they've been doing, who we've been working with, things like that. He was actually writing a book on it, but he died before it was completed. So, Which is a bit of a pity, but in actual fact there was a book brought out called The Ultra Secret, which came out within a few days of being declassified, which suggests someone bent the rules a bit.
So do you enjoy your job?
Most days. Like any job, it has its ups and downs. It's challenging, it's always interesting, it's always different. That's what I like about it. Some of the more boring bits, dealing with, trying to manage budgets, dealing with recurrent issues with staff and stuff like this, they can be quite tedious. But on the other hand, that's the price you pay for getting a job done. In many ways, it's one of the most fun jobs I've ever had. Certainly I've had jobs where I didn't want to get out of bed in the morning. This one I do want to get out of bed in the morning for. So.
You mentioned you had a wife. How long have you been married?
We've been married now. Oh God, I'm going to be in trouble now. 11 years. 11 years, November 28th. Okay.
Do you remember the first time you met her?
Yes, we actually met back in the 80s. But we were both studying for open university degrees. And we met back then. We were both married to other people at the time. And we re-met up again after both those marriages had failed. And we remarried. I'm her third husband and she's my second wife. So there you go. Between us, we've got six children. One died, unfortunately, last year, which we're all still grieving for. He had a car accident. The other five are all getting on with their lives. One's working up here in London, others in Birmingham. Two are up in Fishguard in West Wales. And one still lives with us, who's disabled and is going to college next year. So there you are.
How did your child's death change your life?
It's just the hole it leaves, the absence. Lewis was always one of these kids that was. He was always about. He was all, he was lounging on the settee in his dressing gown, hogging the television when he wanted it, or all his mates were in upstairs and all this sort of thing. He was always full of life. He was also a kid that. It was actually now, at that point in his life, he was starting to get happy and things were starting to work out for him. It was a really tragic point to die at. He died doing what he enjoyed doing. He enjoyed driving cars and playing around in cars, and that's what he was doing. And it was completely his own fault. There's no ifs or buts about that. But it still leaves a huge hole in our lives. Martin, his brother, who's disabled, we don't know if he missed him at all. He doesn't communicate. He hasn't got much communication. But certainly, Lewis used to look after him, Lewis used to take him out, Lewis used to involve him in everything he did. And that's left a gap in Martin's life as well. Whether Martin notices or not, we can't really tell, so it goes. But it would have been his 20th birthday on Monday. A lot of the family came down and we all went for balloons on his grave and stuff like that. So.
Do you think that the experience has got you closer as a family?
In some ways, yes. Certainly, we seem to speak to each other a lot more. We seem to see each other a lot more now. But on the other hand, it's one of those things where you want to try and move on. You want to try and carry on and get something else done. At the moment, everyone's just trying to not forget Lewis, but move on with our lives and reconstruct something. So.
And you mentioned previously photography.
Indeed, yes.
Big passion in your life?
Obsession, the missus says. I say passion, she says obsession, so let's cut the whole thing off. But it's something I've been doing since I was eight. I bought my first camera. Well, sorry, I won my first camera on Bingo on Barry Island when I was about eight. And I actually bought my first camera with aperture you could set yourself and shutter speed you could set yourself, so I had creative control. I think I bought that when I was about 9 and a half, maybe 10. And it was actually one that's very popular now. It's called a Cosmic 35, which back then was a really cheap camera that everyone completely dissed, but now they've become popular sort of arty cameras. There's actually a shop opened in London recently called Lomography, actually selling them, so there you go. They've come back into fashion after 30 years.
And what do you take, what photos do you take?
I take all sorts. I've never been sort of specialised in anything. Most of what I do these days tends to be either photography, fairly close-up photography of things like gardens and stuff like that. I do a lot of that sort of thing. But I also do a lot of work with models, take a lot of model shots. I do lots of family shots and stuff like that for people. I don't charge for it. I'm employed at a local government office, you're not allowed to have secondary employment. But I enjoy doing it, and people enjoy, getting images out of it, and it's all fun. So Lewis was actually learning photography along with me, just before he died. He's actually passed the Open University diploma in photography. But such is life.
And what camera are you using at the moment?
Currently I've got three cameras on the go. I've got a Nikon D80, which is the digital SLR, which is the one we're taking up on the plane today. I've then got a F55, which is the film Nikon, which I didn't bring today because the light on the plinth is going to be awkward and I'm going to struggle enough with digital and with film. And I've also got a Olympus OM30 camera, which is the my older and much tougher film camera, which gets used for slightly more challenging circumstances, which the Nikon's a bit plasticky and couldn't do up with. So.
And which do you prefer, film or digital?
That's like saying, do you prefer coffee or water? It depends what you're doing at the time and what you want at the time. Digital in many ways is a lot easier, but on the other hand, there are certain things that you'd find challenging to get right with digital, which is easy with film. Film's also got some beautiful sort of, the dynamic range is better, and sometimes the colours are better too, particularly with slide, which digital hasn't quite got there yet. But if I was honest, 80% of my photography is probably digital, okay, and then the other 10% is slide or film. So
what attracts you to photography? Obviously, you mentioned you were 8 when you started it.
It was just it's the Henri Cartier-Bresson thing of capturing a decisive moment. It's actually capturing something that happened in time, freezing it, and being able to look at that. I got photographs of my family going back 80 or 90 years in some cases. And they've caught things they were doing, and you can look at them and you think, well, that was a moment in time, it's caught forever. I've got a lovely photograph of my my mother and father in a speedboat. It's one of these rental ones, now Tenby or something like that. My father's driving it and looking at it, and my mother's looking at me very worried, obviously afraid I'm going to drop the camera because I'm actually taking the photograph. And I actually remember the emotions of that and stuff like that, and that's what it brings back for me. But also because you can do so much creatively with it. Now, I'm not very good with my hands. I can't draw, I can't paint, this sort of thing, but I can produce very strong images with a camera. And so that gives me an artistic outlet that I wouldn't otherwise have. So that's what attracts me to it. It's also competitive at the point as well. I do enjoy competing with other photographers and seeing what judges think of our work. I don't tend to do too well, to be honest, but I actually chair one of our local camera clubs as well. I'm the chair of Barry Camera Club, so which is one of the oldest camera clubs in Wales, 1901. So.
And what other interests do you have in your life at the moment?
Okay. Boxers of Good Beef. I spend a lot of time with Boxers of Good Beef, even at home. I'm involved in what's called the open source movement, which is trying to get back to a position we were back in the 80s with computers, where people weren't so precious about copyright and stuff like that, and learning was shared. It was more of an academic type world. There's an awful lot of stuff going on with that, and I am referred to in some circles as a fanatic about that as well. Aside from that, really, there isn't a lot of time left in my life, because between work and photography and the family and the rest of it, that's all the time I've got. So.
Why open source?
Open source is a way of doing things which allows some very big advantages. The first is that people can actually look at the code that's been written, they can learn from it, they can copy it, they're allowed to use it, but also they can correct it, so it becomes more secure very quickly. One of the biggest problems we have is what's called security by obscurity, where people think it's secure because they came up with a way of securing it, but no one's actually checked that. Open source stuff is checked, it's looked at, it's tested, people examine it, people study it, people get whole dissertations written about it, they get doctorates in actually studying this stuff, okay, in order to make sure it does what we're supposed to be doing, rather than the sort of closed commercial world where it's mine, you can't see it, and if you find a fault in it, I'll sue you, this sort of thing. That's a very black and white picture. It's not like that, it's all shades of grey, obviously, but I use commercial software extensively in my work. Okay, I use open source software as well. Okay, but the fact is that the commercial world has become a little bit too obsessed with property rights and not enough obsessed with service and getting it right. So,
one final question. As you know, this project's all about a modern portrayal of Britain.
Mm.
Just going to ask if you can to paint a picture of yourself at this moment in time.
You asked for three words in the profile thing, okay, and the three words I put in there were overweight, yeah, okay, tick, overeducated. I left school with very little qualifications. I've now got three degrees, so I know I'm not going to start singing, and overbearing, because I do tend to get a little bit overbearing at times and get a bit obsessed, especially with things like open source and photography, very strangely, but there you go. So,
why 3 degrees?
Okay, basically, so I got addicted to studying. My wife is actually the same, she's up to 3 as well now. But I've got a bachelor's, which is sort of in sort of general mathematics and technical stuff. I then did a master's in mathematics to extend the knowledge, really, and I've just finished doing a master's in business administration now, which is really to improve myself as a manager, and which was sponsored by my local authority and by the society IT managers, and it's been well worth it. It's really improved my skills and made me think a lot more. So,
fantastic.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.